We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome into this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union, providing our local communities with the banking and lending solutions we all need to get ahead. On Point is a proud sponsor of the Oregon State Athletics Podcast, federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity, and a delightful opportunity for us this week to visit with someone that we've never had on before. And I think you will all enjoy getting to know Nia Mack, a senior on the Oregon State gymnastics team, the team coming off a tremendous come-from-behind victory over the Washington Huskies in Seattle. For the purposes of the podcast, that was yesterday on a Monday, as we record on the day following. And Nia Mack was instrumental in the comeback with a best on floor at 9.850. and help the Beavers get into a comeback mode and win that meet in Seattle. So, Nia, on that note, congratulations to you, your teammates. That must have been a fun bus ride home when you compete the way you did and pull out a win, huh?
Yeah, so much fun. We had a blast on the bus on the way back, playing music and just, obviously it's COVID, so we couldn't really get up and move, but it was just a fun experience and fun environment on the way back.
Nia, what about going up and back? You said, obviously, it's COVID. It certainly is. We can't escape that. No one can. It's a fact. It's a truth. And it's challenging in every way. For you and your team and teammates, what's it like to be a gymnast in this time and all of the things you have to go through just to go compete in a meet?
There's a lot to it. We get tested every week. You know, we have to practice in our masks and, like, running in our masks, and it's not the easiest thing in the world, but we just want, you know, the gymnastics so bad that we're willing to do everything that to follow the protocol and get through everything so we can perform. But definitely not ideal, but, you know, we still make the best out of it.
Nia Mack, our guest, John Warren here with Mike Parker. Do you have to... what are some of the protocols? Just an instant mask on when you're not competing, that kind of a thing?
Yeah, so, like, in practice when we come in, you know, we got to take our shoes off, and then only, like, two or three people are allowed to be in the locker room at once. And there's, like, I believe it's, like, 19 of us on the team, so that's kind of hard. The locker room in our gym currently isn't the largest, so it's only a few people down. You know, when we run, we have to have our masks on, stretch our masks are on. The only time we can actually take our mask off is when we're doing a skill. And then as soon as we complete that skill, we have to put our mask back on. And even when we go into our facility, SBC, when we do weightlifting, our mask is on for the entire duration of the lift. We can't take it off for any reason. And, you know, the same as when we go into treatment, our mask is on the whole time. So it's just mask pretty much all day long.
You've had four competitions. Have any of them had fans in the stands, or are they all closed like most other sports?
Most of the sports, I mean, most of the meets that we have been to, they're closed. We went to ASU, I believe, last week. They did allow fans, and so my family was able to come to that, so that was really fun. And some of the other girls' family and family were there as well, but it was only family. No friends were allowed. So that was kind of exciting, but those are the only fans that we've seen this year so far.
So did your family come all the way from Memphis to Arizona to be
yes,
able to see you?
They came all the way from Memphis to Arizona to come see me compete.
How nice was that? And I wonder, and maybe you've had time during the shutdown and the pandemic to go home, but to have your family get to watch you compete, how thrilling was that, Naya? And how much have you been able to stay in touch and see them during the last 10 months?
When everything first shut down in March, I did go home up until, I was home from March, end of March through the beginning of May, because then our coaches were saying, you know, we may be able to come in. They didn't really know, but I wanted to be ready to come back as soon as I could, because I knew I was coming from so far. So I knew I would have to be quarantined for a duration, but I didn't really get to see them. And then I did see them over Christmas. We were allowed to go home, so I saw them then. And then this was the first time I got to play them this year, technically, because of the new year. But it was just so much fun for them to come see me compete, because, you know, that was probably the last time they'll ever see me do gymnastics. So it was really special. And my sister was able to come see me as well, because she did college gymnastics. So I was glad that she was able to watch me too live instead of through a TV screen.
That is fantastic. Naya Mack, our guest on this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Lacrosse Boots. Beaver fans, when you need a pair of boots for that rainy day, Oregon weather, choose a boot done right, Lacrosse Boots. And with that, I just ask you, from Memphis to Oregon, tell us about your journey here. Was it culture shock in both just the people, but also in the town, but the weather for you coming from Memphis, Tennessee?
Definitely a culture shock with people as well as the weather. Definitely the weather really took me out because it rained all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, because back home in Memphis, like, it rains, it thunderstorms, you know, I love thunderstorms, but never cloudy, never just so sad. Sorry, it's not really bad. But yeah, it's just really not sad here, but it's just so cloudy. And I just get so excited when the sun comes out, because, like, when I'm back at home, like, it'll be cold outside. So at least it's the sun's shining. I can feel it on my skin. It's great. But here it's cold and rainy, and that's just not my favorite thing in the world. There was also a culture shock when it came to people as well, because I was used to being around Black people, I would say. But here I don't see as many Black people, so that was a bit of a shock. But not too much of a shock, because I was doing gymnastics for that point in my life for 15 plus years. So I was used to being around a lot of white people, because the sport itself isn't dominated by Black people. So it was a shock, but not too much of a shock in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've kind of opened the door a little bit on what last week on this platform, the Beaver Sports Podcast, Kim Yamassi had an excellent conversation with a number of Black student athletes at Oregon State in celebration of Black History Month. You say you like to read. That's one of the things you like to do. And it sounds as though you've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of studying, a lot of research with respect to Black history, to Indigenous history, to things that, that your eyes and mind, it sounds as though, in visiting with you a little bit off the air, that you were not aware of before you kind of came out here as in your upbringing in Memphis and your education. There were some holes there and some things you're finding out about. Now, tell us a little bit about that and how, in a sense, interesting, exciting, stimulating the education during this Black History Month specifically has been for you.
Yeah, so like during school, you know, we always celebrated Black History Month, but it was always, you know, very basic information. So we'll be like, oh, there was slavery, that was bad. And then we would jump to Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks and then, you know, the, and all that. And then it was just, that was it. And, you know, mm-hmm. no discrimination, nothing, you know, everything is fine. But like when the more I learned, the more I read that that's not the case at all. Like I learned recently about Claudia Colvin, who's actually the first African-American. She was the first one that refused to give up her seat on the bus. Mm-hmm. And she did that 9 months prior mm-hmm. to Rosa Parks. So it's just information like that that I had no idea about because I wasn't taught about in school. And it's just, it's a lot of information. And I don't know if it's not taught in school because a lot of it is hard to swallow, and maybe that's not something kids should, you know, be learning about. But at the same time, I think it is important, you know, for people to know these things so they can have a better understanding of, like, my history as a Black person as well as the history of this nation.
I'm actually curious. I'd never heard that story. What's the synopsis of that? Why didn't it get taught more to all of us, not just as part of Black History Month?
Yeah.
I mean, what happened to it? To her, and why?
Yeah, why is that story not known as much as Rose's is?
Yeah, when I was reading about it, part of it was because they were saying that she, at the time when she refused to give her a seat, she was 15, she was pregnant, so she didn't fit the image that they wanted to give for the boycott, because the mm-hmm. Alabama Montgomery bus boycott, that's not the image the NCAACP wanted to give.
Okay.
So that was probably the reason why her story got pushed or buried, or say. And then Rosa Parks emerged, and that's why. But okay. She had the image that the NCAA wanted to to paint, you know.
That's an interesting aspect to it. Yeah. No, yeah. I can see that a little bit and how you describe it. Thank you for doing that, Nye. But that's a story worth pursuing. So when you say, you know, you're asked in a feature on OSUBeavers.com, you're asked a series of questions: favorite holiday, what fictional place, Bikini Bottom is where you'd like to go to hang out with SpongeBob and company. I get that, hang gliding or whitewater rafting, sushi or tacos. You have answers to all these important questions. Mm-hmm. But one that caught my attention a lot: read or watch the movie. And you say, oh, read the book. So you love to read. Yeah. What kind of stuff do you like to read, Naya?
Well, since I've been in college, it's definitely slowed down a little bit. but I like to read, I like to read sci-fi. I like to read, like, mystery-type books. Mm-hmm. I love to read, like, books that are about betterment. But recently, since everything's been going on, I've been really reading more about African-American history. And one book that I'm currently reading is called Stamp from the Beginning. I'm not sure who the author, I can't think of his name right now, but it basically talks about the origin of racist ideas in America. And it's actually very interesting, and it's a great read if anyone's ever interested in reading it. But yeah, that's the type of stuff that I like to read.
But you don't, as you say, with the demanding, you're a senior, a finance major with a minor in organizational leadership. It's a lot of academic stuff you're reading now. But when you get a chance, you've branched out. And have you felt, with respect to your education at Oregon State and the time you've spent here, even with the culture shock, with the weather and just, you know, being, I think you said that you felt when you got out here after being around a large African-American population in Memphis, it was quite different in Corvallis, Oregon, and throughout the state.
Yeah.
How has that adjustment been over the years? Has it gotten any more comfortable for you from those early days to now?
I've definitely adjusted to it pretty quick, I would say. I probably was in shock for maybe a month or two, and then, you know, I made adjustments. I discovered the BCC, which is the Black Culture Center. Mm-hmm. So I kind of found a home there where I found comfortable, where I got comfortable and met other African-Americans on campus that made me feel a little bit more at home. But other than that, yeah, I adjusted pretty fast after that.
And have you found the education here? Has it opened some avenues, or have you discovered these independently, even of your classroom education? The classes you're taking would not necessarily, finance as a major may not open doors, but maybe it has. Have you read some things sociologically in that world that have opened your eyes a little bit? How has your mind developed since being at Oregon State?
I would say it's kind of it's opened my mind quite a bit, because there was some stuff that I just had no idea about, and I've had some great professors that helped me to better understand things. And even sometimes if I didn't, I would just do some extra research outside of class to help better understand things. So, yeah, definitely eye-opening for me, for sure.
Well, at the same time, you are in, while all of this is going on, one of the more demanding disciplines in sport ever invented for the human experience, gymnastics. It's so difficult, and what you athletes do is unbelievable to us. How did you first get onto the sport? Who introduced you to it, and what's it been like to be part of it in your life?
Well, I actually started gymnastics because my sister started gymnastics. So when I first started out, I was not definitely not the best, for sure. It was really rough. I think I was thinking about quitting gymnastics, and I turned about, I think I was like 13, and I told my parents, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm not any good at it. Like, you know, and my parents were like, you know, you can't, like, you got to finish, because if you quit at this, you'll quit at everything in life. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you at least have to make it to your senior year before, my senior year of high school before mm-hmm. I quit. But by the time, you know, I got to my senior year, you know, I was still in love with the sport, and, you know, then I was trying to pursue college gymnastics, and, you know, here I am now, still going. So
that's awesome. Good job.
Yeah, and your sister in your bio competes at Kent State. Is she still there?
Well, she graduated, I want to say, in 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, she did college gymnastics, and she had a fantastic, she had fun time up there in Ohio. She wasn't the biggest fan of the snow. She said it was fun for like a day, and then after that, she was over it. Yeah.
Was there ever a thought or an opportunity where you might compete on the same team together?
I mean, I the recruiting process in gymnastics is very interesting, because they do recruit a bit early. So by time, I think I tried to email my sister school, Kent State, but I think their roster was already full by the time, you know, I got around to, you know, reaching out to them. I don't remember the specifics, but yeah, I think I tried, but, you know, I wasn't successful. So,
well, you're on one of the better.
I'm glad I picked Oregon State. So
I was going to say, you're in one of the better programs, literally in the country. I bet Kent State would love to have you now, but I'm sure it's all worked out. And by the way, how is it your experiences with the Oregon State gymnastics squad, working with Tanya and Michael and the other coaches and then your teammates? Has it been a good experience for you?
Yes, it's been a great experience, and I'm so happy that, you know, I picked to go here, because I don't think there's any other, you know, program in the country that has as much love and genuine care than our team. You know, Tanya, Michael, and our new assistant coach, Brian, are always, you know, just so, they're just great. They're always asking, you know, how we are, you know, what they can do to be a better coach for us. You know, they're always asking us, like, what we're doing throughout our day or how our week's going. They just really care about us and try to do everything that they can, you know, to make this the best experience for us possible during our time here. And then from the team, you know, all of us care about each other so much, and it's not, there's really not anything that we wouldn't do for each other, because we're always there to support one another, and it's just a lot of love on the team, so it's great.
Last couple of minutes with Nia Mack from the gymnastics team. This week's podcast, again, also brought to you by the Beaver Game Day Wine Club, created by Willamette Valley Vineyards, where you receive special benefits, and a portion of the sales go to support the Fermentation Science Program at Oregon State. Sign up at wvv.com/gameday. Our thanks to Willamette Valley Vineyards for making this and all of the podcast conversations possible. Naya, just in terms of your sport and the events you've competed in at Oregon State, sounds like you had a great day on the floor yesterday. Has that been your best event? I mean, tell us a little bit about how your career has evolved and what you've competed in.
So during my time here at Oregon State, I've competed in vaults and floor, and I did that mostly all through my freshman, sophomore, and junior year. But this year I added bars onto that. And all I can say is it's such a blast, you know, being able to put all the hard work that I've been putting in on the jump and being able to make the lineup and put it on display and to represent, you know, Oregon State and the team and our coaches. But I just love going out there with the team and getting the chance to compete.
Having been consistent with those in your first 3 years, did you not do bars at all? Did it get to a point like, yeah, we're not doing that? And then having to be reintroduced to it, or did you do a little bit of bars in practices for those first 3 years so when you added it to your list, it wasn't a complete shock?
No, I've been working on it during my entire time here. We're just working on trying to get a routine together because I was, like, always missing, like, I'll get this, and then, like, oh, well, I'm missing this requirement, so, like, let's work on this, and then, oh, like, now I need to get the dismount, you know, to get the routine together. So it was just a lot of working to get a complete routine, and now I'm able to finally, you know, show everyone all the work I've been doing, so.
Last thing, Naya, do you have a sense of when this the challenging times all of you have been through, it's amazing to me what student athletes, students in general are experiencing through the pandemic. Do you know quite yet what you're planning on doing? Are you getting another year if you want it to come back and compete again here? Do you know quite yet what you're going to do when this season comes to an end?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be finished after this year. I do have another year eligibility, but I don't think I'm going to take it. You know, I've been doing gymnastics for, 17 years mm-hmm. of my life. You know, I'm kind of ready for that chapter to end. I've accomplished a lot of great things, and I really enjoyed my time here at Oregon State, but I'm kind of ready, you know, to move on to the next chapter of my life. I'm really just trying to embrace every moment that I have left here.
Good for you. And I don't want to get too far ahead, but do you know what that next chapter might look like, or is it still to be written? Do you have a professional goal? What are you thinking of right now?
Right now I'm thinking, working on, you know, grad applications. I want to do grad school, ideally, you know, closer to home, you know, doing some internships, you know, because right now my sister has a business, so I help her do, like, all of her, like, accounting and mm-hmm. Finance stuff. And so I kind of want to do some stuff like small businesses. And then obviously when I do attend grad school, I'm trying to get my CFP, which is the Certified Financial Planner, to become a Certified Financial Planner mm-hmm. is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the direction that I want to go.
It has
so
been
a plan of
go ahead.
Right now.
Yeah, no, I know. And right now, I mean, you're thinking about the next practice probably. You get a day off today. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
even on the day
yeah,
off.
Practice tomorrow.
And practice tomorrow.
Well, what
and
are we going to do?
We really appreciate getting to know you a little bit, Naya. You're also the SAC treasurer for this academic year. So you've got a lot on your plate. We appreciate you making time for us. A pleasure to get to know you and hope we can talk again down the road. Thanks for taking time for us on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Hope you guys have a nice day.
Thanks, Naya.
Take care.
Naya Mack, our guest. And part of the podcast is also presented by your local Toyota dealers. John, I love this because Toyota is involved with a virtual teddy bear toss. And you can purchase a ticket to a gymnastics meet, to a Beaver men's or women's basketball game virtually. You can't, unfortunately, plenty of cutouts that Toyota's also sponsored that program.
Mm-hmm.
But your local Toyota dealers is now sponsoring the virtual teddy bear toss, the 8th annual. So if you go to beavertickets.com and buy a ticket, that ticket, you can't come to the event, unfortunately, now, but you're supporting a great cause. For every ticket purchased virtually at beavertickets.com, a stuffed animal is donated to Dornbecker's.
That's one of my favorite games of the year when they start throwing things out of the stands. It is hilarious, and it's for a great cause.
And there won't be any teddy bears tossed around there. All of the events are available this year. But as fun as all that is, more than ever, your purchase of a ticket virtually to any event at Gill, beavertickets.com will spell it out for you. You'll be making a contribution to Dornbecker Children's Hospital through our friends at your local Toyota dealers.
All right. Also, we want to thank Oregon State eCampus. The world has shifted towards online education, and no one does it better than Oregon State eCampus. You can choose from more than 75 programs and earn your degree online from a nationally ranked leader in the industry. Learn more today at ecampus.oregonstate.edu.
And finally, they're open. You can certainly always access the OSU Beaver Store online at osubeaverstore.com. But the OSU Beaver Store has been your authentic source for beaver gear since 1914. That was before the Spanish flu pandemic hit. They were in business serving students at Oregon State.
And one of those students was my grandfather.
In that time frame.
And 1914.
Wow. That is a story for another time, perhaps, on another podcast. Thank you, John, though, for that. That's great to know the continuity continues for all these years. And a large part of the experience for students has been the OSU Beaver Store, where game day experience starts. OSUBeaverStore.com. Really a pleasure to get to know another tremendous student athlete at Oregon State in Nia Mack from Memphis, Tennessee. For John Warren, this is Mike Parker. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again next week on another edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.